Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the March 28th edition of the Habs 360 podcast. I'm your host, Chris G. You can follow me on Twitter at ChrisG1980, and we're with you here to bring you another edition of the Habs 360 podcast, which is the most informative and most interactive podcast that you will be able to find anywhere. We're going to look ahead to tonight's game between the Montreal Canadiens and the Florida Panthers, which begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, a game that could be seen coast-to-coast in English on City TV with Dave Randorf on the call, and on French could be seen on TVA Sports. In terms of the lineup change compared to Thursday night's game against the Winnipeg Jets, Carey Price will be in goal instead of Dustin Tokarski. What a surprise. No, it's not a surprise at all. And in up front, Devante Smith-Pelly is out of the lineup, a healthy scratch, and he'll be replaced by Brian Flynn. So we're going to talk about that later on today's episode when we tee up the game between the Canadiens and the Florida Panthers. My co-host for today's episode, Twitter handle is at Peter Galanos. Peter G, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Chris. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So let's get it started. Canadiens played three games last week.
Trying to get the puck to the net again. They're boxed out by the Canadiens, who are 4-on-2 through center. Plekanec, Galchenyuk to the front of the net. Plekanec scores!
And that was Thomas Plekanec, who scored his 22nd goal of the season. He also picked up an assist in that game to give the Canadiens a 2-0 win over the San Jose Sharks. And Peter, Thomas Plekanec, it's his 8th 20-goal season in his last 9. And in that breakdown, I also include the lockout season, because if you'd prorated, he would have gone over the 20 goals. And, well, it's another, he's very quiet, but another good season for Thomas Plekanec.
Yeah, and as much as, you know, he's been a very consistent player for the Habs, he's never been the ideal number one center that this team or its fans have wanted, but because of his size. But, I mean, he's one of the best two-way centers in the NHL. He has been for a few years. And, you know, his contribution has been great. I think I think his most dominant year was the year he was with on a regular line with Kovalev and Kostitsyn. That was like a great season for him, and you know, he just keeps going, and he's one of the leaders of this team. And this is, you know, he. It's too bad that the Habs don't have a number one center ahead of him to support him better. And you know, no disrespect to David Desharnais there, but I think if Plekanec had a better centerman to help him out on the other line, I think the Habs will be even stronger than they currently are right now.
And he's had two big seasons when it comes into point in regards to overall points. In 2007-2008, 29 goals, 40 assists for a total of 69 points. And in 2009 and 2010, he got 70 points, 25 goals, 45 assists. And it's funny, every year as we go on, there's people that always ask and want Thomas Plekanec to get traded. And during the offseason, I have to admit that I was one of those people that I thought that Thomas Plekanec wouldn't finish the year in Montreal this year, because I was expecting Lars Eller to be able to replace his role. But Lars Eller isn't ready right now, at least to fulfill and replace Thomas Plekanec. In the game against the San Jose Sharks, Carey Price, while he keeps hitting milestones, he became the first goalie with 40 wins for the Montreal Canadiens. Last goalie to do it was Ken Dryden in 1976-1977. And with that shutout, it was his 34th in his career. He tied Bill Durnham for fourth in the Montreal Canadiens history. His next plateau when it comes to shutouts is 46, so he's 12 away. So I might have to wait a year or so before that happens. In a game against the Sharks, Tom Gilbert did not finish the game. He did not make the trip as well to Nashville and Winnipeg, and will not be in the lineup tonight either when the Canadiens face the Panthers. He left the game after getting hit by the puck in the face. It has only been confirmed by the team as an upper body injury for Tom Gilbert. This was a game that I think was even after two periods of play between these two teams. But then the third period, the San Jose Sharks, who are desperate for a playoff spot, I think they took over in the third period. And the shots on goal were 11-3 in favor of the Sharks, but Carey Price was sharp and was able to stop all those all the 11 shots from his opponents. Then the Canadiens head to a two-game road trip. Started off Tuesday night against the Nashville Predators. It was a big goalie matchup: Pecorini against Carey Price, arguably the two best goalies in the NHL right now. And what was the outcome? Well, no surprise, but this game went into overtime, tied at 2. And in that game, Nashville ended Carey Price's shutout streak after 166 minutes and 10 seconds of not allowing a goal. With a little over a minute left, or I should say a minute into the overtime, the puck was passed back to PK Subban. It bounced over his stick, and then it was picked up by Philip Forsberg. He was heading on the breakaway, and while PK Subban from behind tripped him, it was the end of the shift, so he didn't have the energy to catch up to Philip Forsberg. So that put the Nashville Predators on a 4-3 power play, and well, Forsberg himself scored to give Nashville a 3-2 win. Let's hear PK Subban on the overtime after that game.
The puck just bounced, you know, I mean, usually I'm sure about the, you know, if I'm going to take a swing at it, I got to be pretty sure I'm going to get it. And I thought I was going to get it there, but, you know, I just missed it. And then from there, I mean, he has all the momentum going forward. So I just tried to bat it again, and by that time he was already gone.
So even though the Canadiens weren't able to get the second point against the Nashville Predators, I think this is a game that could have gone either way. Canadiens could have easily won this game. Nashville could have won it. I think it was the game heading into extra time is what was deserved, as both teams played well.
Two great goalies that played very good hockey games. They both made some pretty big saves that But not a lot of goalies in the world are able to make. So that's kind of what you expected. Two similar teams. It was a well-played game.
Yeah, you know, I thought both teams played very well. You know, that was a real fun hockey game to play in. Obviously, we don't like the outcome, but you know, we're not going to win them all. And you got to tip your hat to the Preds. They played a very good game tonight.
We played a strong game, like you said. It seems like you know, it bounces the difference in that game. Obviously. You know, ice is bad at the end there, and it bounces over someone's stick, and that's the way it goes sometimes. But you got to give everyone credit in this room. Everyone played really well. I think it's one of our better team games in a while, but it's frustrating to not get the 2 points for Carey.
So we heard there from Brendan Gallagher, Carey Price, and Max Pacioretty, and I can understand Max Pacioretty when he says that it's frustrating. It's because the Canadians did play well against the Nashville Predators, but the bounces just didn't go in the Canadians' favor on a Tuesday night. The bounces did go in the favor of the Nashville Predators, but I think it's all good for the Montreal Canadiens. And, well, after that game, they packed up and headed to Winnipeg, Manitoba. Probably pretty cold right now in Winnipeg. I've been there, so I could tell you that it is pretty cold in that part of our country. Winnipeg Jets, well, they beat the Montreal Canadiens 5-2. Canadiens in that game probably played the best first period, or maybe even period of the season. And while the score wasn't an indication on the way the game went, Montreal dominated the first two periods, but they trailed 4-1 at the end of two. And in my opinion, they deserved a better outcome. The final shots on goal in that game, 41-22 in favor of the Montreal Canadiens. So how often, number one, do the Canadiens outshoot their opponents? And number two, how often do the Canadiens take 40 shots in one game? And, well, when he did, they came out on the losing side of that game. Let's hear what the coach, Michel Therrien, Andrei Markov, and Brendan Gallagher thought about the game against the Winnipeg Jets.
And I thought we played really solid. We were ready to play. We dictate the game. We dictate the pace. Pavlik was outstanding, and they capitalized on their chances.
We did a few mistakes, you know, in turnovers in the neutral zone, a few mistakes in the defensive zone, and that's what cost us a game, you know, like, so, and, yeah, their goaltender played well, but at the same time, we have to be more hungry, you know, like, and have to be more hungry to score the goals.
You can tell that their mindset every night, they just want to use their speed and forecheck and play physical hockey, and they did that tonight. We expected that. It wasn't anything that caught us off guard, but it's a strength of their team, and they were able to create some chances off of it.
So in this mini road trip, Peter, Canadians got 1 point out of the possible four, but if you look at the overall play of the Canadians for the game against the Nashville Predators and against the Winnipeg Jets, I think whether it be the coach or the players, overall should be satisfied with those two games.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Nashville is one of the top teams in the league in the standings, with, right on top with Montreal, and both teams very similar. I mean, both teams have elite goaltenders. Both teams have an elite duo of defensemen. And up front, they are very similar, and you know, they played a great game. It was an unfortunate play that cost them, that forced the PK to take a penalty and cost them the game. But I mean, it was a flawless game before that. I mean, they were in it the entire time. It was one of the closest games and great games that we've seen. And the game against Winnipeg was one of those weird situations where the Habs actually outscored the opposition and by not outscored, but outshot the opposition by a lot. And they finally came out on the wrong side of it. You know, it's like this team is not used to doing that. They're always used to getting outshot and have Carey Price save them. And now in a situation like this, when Tokarski was in goal, they finally played a different style where they outshot the opposition. And they ended up being on the losing end. But a team like Winnipeg in that game, they just made that game painful in many ways, because the Canadians lost and because they out-hit them, and they out-hit them a lot. And they were just hitting everything. And they are a very big team, and it showed. And don't underestimate the Jets. If they make the play, if they squeeze into the playoffs, they could cause an upset, at least in the first round.
Earlier, I mentioned how often did the Canadians get 40 shots on goal in a game this season. And in fact, the game against the Winnipeg Jets, it was the sixth time that the Canadians took 40 shots or more. And the record in those games, 2-4. So, which is kind of rare, you expect, especially for a team like Montreal, who is not the most offensive team, that if they manage to get 40 shots, you would think that they would win more games than they lose. But that's not the case for the Canadians this year. So the Canadians have played 75 games. That means the Canadians have only 7 games remaining on for this season. They have a record of 46-21-8. Which gives them a total of 100 points. They are currently first place in the Atlantic Division. The Tampa Bay Lightning trail by 1 point. Both teams have the same number of games played. But right now, when it comes to the tiebreaker, the Tampa Bay Lightning do have 4 regulation and overtime wins more than the Montreal Canadiens. So if the Canadiens want to stay ahead of the Tampa Bay Lightning, they can't tie when it comes into a number of points. They're going to have to get more than them. If we look at the conference, the Canadians right now are second place behind the New York Rangers. Rangers became the first team in the Eastern Conference to clinch a spot. They have 101 points. They've played 73 games. Game number 74 is currently on the way, and it looks like they're not going to do too well in that game. And the trailing the Canadians are the Tampa Bay Lightning. So the Rangers, at the end of the day today, will have 2 games in hand over the Montreal Canadiens. And if you look in the NHL, Canadiens are 4th place right now. The teams ahead of them, the New York Rangers, the Anaheim Ducks, and the Nashville Predators. And when it comes in terms of games, they're all pretty much the same. The Predators have 100 points, and the Ducks and the Rangers have 101 points. So, is it worth looking at sportsclubstats.com? No, it's not. Canadians are pretty much guaranteed to make the playoffs. In fact, if they win tonight's game against the Florida Panthers, they're in the playoffs. And, well, if the Boston Bruins, if the Canadians don't win and the Boston Bruins lose, or some kind of combination like that. But the easiest way is if the Canadians win tonight against the Florida Panthers, they're automatically clinched a playoff spot.
I think we should start checking now what are their chances of winning the Stanley Cup. That would be...
That's good, and that's something that Sports Club Stats can provide us. So I'll tell you that in a second. I remember last week when you checked for the playoffs, it was 99.44. And when it comes to the Stanley Cup, it's a 6% chance. The leaders are the New York Rangers. They give them a 19% chance of winning the Stanley Cup. How the Stanley Cup is exactly calculated, the odds, I'm not really sure how they do that. If you want to reach us during today's episode, it's pretty simple. You can do it by reaching us via Twitter at Habs360. You can also give us a call toll-free, 1-877-455-4945. Our lines will be open for the entire episodes today. We're going to take our first break here on Habs 360. Coming up, well, some opponents took some liberties on Carey Price this week, so we'll talk about it. Is there anything that the Canadiens can do to stop it? And later on today's episode, we're going to look ahead to the game versus the Florida Panthers tonight, and also to the game against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Monday. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, their affiliates, and their prospects, log in to allhabs.net, your year-round resource for anything Habs related. That's allhabs.net.
I bet you enjoy sporting your best Habs jerseys, dressing up your kids and pets in the cutest Habs gear, and showing off your decked-out hockey cave or family. Well, don't just show your friends, show your Habs. The team at All Habs wants you to boast your finest pictures for our global network of Montreal Canadiens fans. Include the hashtag #ShowYourHabs when posting your fan photos on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Then log on to showyourhabs.com to see your entry, along with photos and posts from Habs fans all over the world. A proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. We are specifically interested in individuals who have education and or experience in the following areas: sports writing, translation, editing, forum administration, social media administration, multimedia, graphic design, web development and user support, event planning, and sponsorship and marketing. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, visit allhabs.net and click the Join Our Team tab today.
If you missed a recent episode of the Habs 360 podcast, search Habs 360 on allhabs.net or on iTunes for the archives. Want to make sure you never miss another episode? Subscribe to Habs 360 on iTunes and all new episodes will automatically download for you.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
You know, to get to 100 points, obviously it's a big deal for our hockey club. I mean, I don't know if a lot of people would have predicted that at the start of the season, but we believed in our group, and it takes a whole team. I mean, you know, Carey's a big part of our team, but it takes a special group of guys to put together a season like that. And you know, whether it's guys that are on the fourth line or guys that are on the first line, you know, we've had some injuries. We've had guys in and out of the lineup, and you know, guys have come in and have done a great job.
It's a good accomplishment, but I think it's you know, a good starting point for our confidence. I think we have to use this as you know, motivation that we can play with any of the top teams in the league right now. But you know, our last couple of games have been a good stepping stone for where we want to be. We want to go into playoffs with some momentum. We have 8 games now to you know, try and perfect our game, and we're moving in the right direction right now.
All right, welcome back. I'm Chris G at ChrisG1980, along with Peter. You can follow Peter on Twitter at Peter Galanos. And Peter, the Canadiens became the first team in the NHL to reach 100 points in the regular season. As we spoke before the break, there's other teams that have reached that plateau since. And, well, there was almost 10 games remaining when they reached that plateau, and I don't think this is something that we would have been expecting at the beginning of the season.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. But, I mean, you know, they've been at the top of the standings throughout most of the season. And, you know, it's a great accomplishment and it's great. But we'll see where this brings them in the playoffs. I find they're still, you know, a bit like you said before with the club stats where they only have them at 6%, yet the Rangers are a lot higher than that. I sort of share the same feeling, you know, even though they have 100 points in the standings, and even though in this era it's a lot easier to get 100 points than it was before, I'm still a little worried that they're going to have a very tough time to make it to the conference finals.
I think every day you're looking at the standings now. You know, every game is so important. You know, we're going to control what we can control, but obviously, you know, you're only human. You're looking at the stats and, you know, potential matchups. So much can happen in the last 10 games, though, so, you know, you can't pay too much attention.
So that said, Dale Weiss before the game against the Nashville Predators, so he finally confirmed that the myth is wrong and people do check the standings. And as he says that the Canadians do, that he does at least. At the beginning of the season, Mark Bergevin and Michel Therrien both said that the first objective of the Canadians is to make it into the playoffs, and then we'll see from there. So now, Peter, they've made it to the playoffs. So what's next for the Canadians? What do you think is their next objective?
Well, if I'm them, I mean, you gotta figure out what each player can bring to this team as we're nearing the playoffs. You got to try things, you got to experiment things, but even though they are doing good in the standings and their playoff spot is pretty much secure, I think the ideal situation is to still win the division, because by winning the division, you get a weaker opponent. If you finish second, you get a very tough either Tampa Bay or Detroit team in the first round, and it's not going to be easy. Especially if it's Tampa Bay, who the Canadians have yet to beat this season.
But in the first round, I don't think it's possible that they face the Lightning. Because the Canadians are either going to finish first in a division or second. So it's either Detroit or one of the wild card spots.
Okay, so yet I'd still rather face one of the wild card teams than Detroit in the first round.
Yeah, and with the parity going running in NHL, I think it's really... I don't think there's a big difference when it comes to the Boston Bruins, the Ottawa Senators, and the Florida Panthers. I guess there's still a minor chance that they could sneak in and get one of the two wildcard spots, but I don't think there's a huge difference in between all those three teams. And I think the Canadians, what will be important for them until the end of the season is that they head into the playoffs playing good hockey. It doesn't necessarily have to be wins and losses. If you look at the last two games, the Canadians played against the Predators and against the Jets. Even though the Canadians came out on the losing side of both those games, they played both those games well. So I think that's what the main focus should be for the Canadians going in. Make sure you're playing good, solid hockey heading into the playoffs, and you're not going there in a slump or where you're not giving your 100% effort, because, well, if you're not trying 100% heading into the playoffs, it's going to be tough to just turn on the switch and be ready for game one.
As a kid, you know, I never really would have pictured myself in this situation, but you know what? I've been blessed immensely, and I've been helped a lot to get to where I'm at, and you know, I got a lot of people to thank.
He's the best. Nothing much to say.
So it's pretty simple that we heard Carey Price and Thomas Plekanec following the game against the San Jose Sharks on Saturday. And the only thing that Thomas Plekanec said that, well, he's the best. And it was another good week for Carey Price in goal for the Montreal Canadiens. But we're seeing something that's happening a little bit more often. Price, he's getting hit. It happened twice. Logan Couture from the San Jose Sharks in that game last Saturday. We saw it in the game against the Nashville Predators when it was Mike Fisher who ran into the goalie. Is it on purpose? Is it by accident? No one knows, right, except for those players, or if somebody actually told them to go run into Carey Price. And we should expect this to keep happening now until the playoffs, and even in the playoffs, we should expect this to happen, and maybe even more. And Peter, is there anything that the Canadians could do to stop this?
Well, I heard this the other day. I don't remember where, but somebody was asked that question. It was a former NHLer who was asked about what would you guys do if your goalie was threatened, you know, if you saw that your goalie is being run too often. And they responded by telling the players, look, if you guys run into our goalie, we're running into yours. So don't even think about it. Because if you guys do it first. We're going to respond guaranteed, no questions asked. So Canadians have to, out of all the teams in the NHL, the Canadians are the team that know the most what it feels like, because they went through this last season during the playoffs when Kreider ran over Price and took him out of the series, and the Habs ended up losing that series. And they've got a, I'm not, you know, it sounds a little barbaric, but, you know, if you don't want to do it that way, there's many different ways you can do it. And the Habs have to send out that message that don't run into our Carey Price or, you know, things are going to happen.
The only thing that I have, I wouldn't say against, I think that could happen in that kind of a situation is, well, if you're going to respond after they've taken out your goalie, after they've hurt him, what's the point? You've already lost your goalie. I think another approach that I've heard that I'm starting to like is maybe, well, it might be happening in the background without us knowing. Could be either Mark Bergevin going straight to the league and telling, like, hey, like, look what Logan Couture did here twice. Look what Mike Fisher did against Carey Price. Maybe at the press conferences, we've heard Michel Therrien talk about it occasionally during the season, but maybe it's to a point where at every single press conference after the game, slips in the word. Maybe try to get some attention from the league or from opponents that they have their eye on this. And, well, to anything to make it stop. And we saw even last time against Tampa Bay, Braden Prest, he went and he hit Bishop from behind the net. It wasn't too dangerous, but yet again, it was still a hit outside of the crease. And I'm sure if that would have been done against Carey Price, we wouldn't be happy and we would be here talking about it on Habs 360.
Mike, for Dustin, I mean, feel for him just the way things went?
It's a tough night for him, yeah.
Is there any thought of putting Carey Price in at all?
No, this was a day off for him.
You guys saw it. He stood on his head. It's a pretty epic performance by him. And you know, we played a good game. You know, I would like to make a few more saves out there, but sometimes that's the way it goes.
So we heard from Michel Therrien and Dustin Tokarski following Thursday night's game against the Winnipeg Jets. Dustin Tokarski allowed 5 goals on 22 shots. And, well, I think the reason the Canadiens did lose that game was because of the goaltending. I think he allowed 3 bad goals. The first goal, was a powerful shot from Dustin Byfuglien that went right through Dustin Tokarski. The reason why I think that that one should have been stopped is, well, yes, I understand that Dustin Byfuglien has one of the hardest shots in the NHL, but there was nobody screening him. Dustin Tokarski saw that puck and he didn't make the save. There was another goal that went off the skate of the Jets player and went in. So you cannot make the argument that that wasn't Dustin Tokarski's fault, but I'll tell you that that rebound that he gave up shouldn't have been, it wasn't a good rebound that Dustin Tokarski was able to control. He was out of position for almost the entire night in the game against the Winnipeg Jets. And Dustin Tokarski, while his recent starts have not been the greatest, he had a good start against the Florida Panthers last time the Canadiens faced them. And in 2015, so since the beginning of the calendar year, Dustin Tokarski, he has a record of 2-4-2 with a .899 save percentage. So that's not the same Dustin Tokarski that we saw last season when the Canadiens faced the New York Rangers in the conference final. So, Peter, I don't know, maybe a little bit too premature asking this question, but do you think Dustin Tokarski's job, maybe for next season, is in danger?
It's a little tough to say right now, but it's not easy to ask a goalie to be a backup, especially now when you're the backup of the best goalie in the NHL as well, you know. And I think it's a learning period also as well for Dustin Tokarski, because he's never been used to playing at any level as a backup goalie. Wherever he's been, he's always been a starting goalie. And, you know, it's always been tough for him.
And while Dustin Tokarski has one more year left in his contract, so I think he's not helping his cause. But, you know, to say that he has a guaranteed job next season, I don't think necessarily is the case. But if the Canadiens are able to find a cheap alternative, I think they'll be on the lookout to find. A backup goalie for next season, but that's, I think, a little bit too premature for that decision to be made right now by the Montreal Canadiens. Before the game against the Winnipeg Jets, the coach, Michel Therrien, said that there's a plan for Carey Price and how he'll be used for the rest of the season. It was a plan that was made in collaboration with Stephen Waite, and Stephen Waite did discuss a plan with Carey Price. And the Canadiens do have back-to-back games coming up this week on Thursday and Friday, so I think we'll definitely see Dustin Tokarski playing one of those two games. But besides that, how many more games do you expect to see Tokarski? I would say maybe, what, one or two more, not any more than that. Maybe a third game. You know, he might play the last game against the Leafs, or will they give that one to Carey Price? It is. We'll see how that goes.
Under 20 seconds to go. Pat Cerretti. Brendan Gallagher hits the net.
Galchenyuk with it. Swung it back the other way. Craig Connor and hustles after it. Trying to throw it towards the net. That's a block by Bork. Now Jones trying to chip out. It comes to net. Rene Cuddle scores. Gallagher. Left it for Markov. Back and Ward. Gallagher to Galchenyuk with a shot, and it's tipped wide. Stafford going after it. New Stafford playing it blindly in front. Gallagher steps in, scores!
So we heard there, Brendan Gallagher, goals number 21, 22, and 23 of the season. And that gives Brendan Gallagher a four-game streak with at least one goal. He has four goals in his last four games. He'll try to extend that tonight to five games. And, well, we haven't spoken about Brendan Gallagher much on the Habs 360 podcast this season, but you got to give credit to Brendan Gallagher. He always gives 100% effort on every single one of his shifts. He never takes a day off. Even when the Canadiens have a bad game, it's rare that Brendan Gallagher is one of those players that you look at and you say, you know what? He was one of the players that wasn't good. Even the game against the Winnipeg Jets, he was the Canadiens' best player on the ice. He scored a goal like we heard, and he was all over the ice, lots of heart, and he does what he does best. Crashes the goalie, and he's all heart, that Brendan Gallagher, and definitely is one of those main reasons why he received a contract extension earlier this year. And right now he's getting hot at the right time. And like that, he could ride into this hot streak heading into the postseason. And he's always successful regardless of which line mates he's with, whether he's on the first line with Pacioretty and Dernais, or Pacioretty and Plekanec, or the egg line from last year. The line that Brendan Gallagher is on has always been successful. So he's reached 23 goals, Brendan Gallagher, that is. And, well, Peter, for Brendan Gallagher, I think him getting 20 to 25 goals in his per season is pretty much what we should expect, I think, also going forward from him.
Well, yeah, he's never going to be much more of a scorer than that. I'd say 20 to 30 range is probably what he's going to be getting about for the rest of his career.
I knew I wasn't playing my best hockey in the last couple of games, and I knew I had to use my speed a little more and compete more, win battles, and trying to go out there and make plays and stay loose a little bit. And to come in the game today, I definitely played a way better game than the last couple of games.
So that's Alex Galchenyuk talking about his play following the game against the San Jose Sharks. Galchenyuk hasn't scored a goal in his last 11 games, and he's in a stretch where he scored one goal in the last 15. And if you look at his stats line, he scored 19 goals for the entire season, but includes one game where he scored a hat-trick and two games that he scored two goals each. So 7 out of the 19 goals were in multiple goal games. And for sure, the Habs in the playoffs, they need him to score. He's one of those players that will have to support Max Pacioretty in scoring some goals in order for them to be successful. So, Peter, what do you think the issue is with Galchenyuk? Because he's had quite a season. He went to center, then he said he didn't want to play at center, or the coach took him off from playing from center position. Is it maybe that he hasn't signed the contract? He saw Brendan Gallagher, Brendan Gallagher, I think, is probably one of his best friends on the team, and Gallagher did get a contract extension earlier this season. Like, what do you think is up with Galchenyuk?
It's kind of hard to say right now. I think he's just in one of those slumps. I mean, every player goes through it, and he's going through it right now, and let's just hope that he gets out of it in time for the playoffs. I don't think we should read more into it than that, unless he's hiding some kind of injury, which I don't think is the case as well.
Are you like me? Do you find it weird that Brendan Gallagher, who we spoke about before, has more goals than Galchenyuk has right now? I find that unusual. I would have been expecting the opposite.
Well, I think Galchenyuk is more of a overall a player who has more of an overall game where he tries to set up other players as well. I think that's, you know, a centerman's mentality. So I'm not surprised in that case, even though eventually I think that Galchenyuk will be putting up better numbers in the goal department than Galchenyuk.
And right now I'm thinking that maybe the coach should do to Galchenyuk what he did to David Dernier earlier in the season, is maybe it's time to play him in the third line a bit, make him not face top defenders for a while, let him gain his confidence, and then slowly move him back up to the second line and maybe even the first line. But definitely I think that Galchenyuk should, Canadians need him to step up his game. All right, we're going to take a break here on Habs 360. On the other side of the break, we'll preview tonight's game against the Florida Panthers, and we'll look ahead to the game against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Monday. Don't forget, if you want to provide us your feedback, whether it be what we just spoke about Alex Galchenyuk and Brendan Gallagher, you can do it via Twitter at Habs360, and you can also give us a toll-free call at 1-877-455-4945. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. In addition to building a worldwide network of sports fans, the team at RSM is also dedicated to mobilizing the sports community in ways that make a difference in the lives of others. Giving back to the community bridges the gap between team affiliations. Something any fan can support. RSM has proudly provided support for organizations and projects like Hockey Fights Cancer, Five Hole for Food, the Montreal Canadiens Children's Foundation, Autism Speaks, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada, and the People of Canada Portrait Project, just to name a few. If you would like to be involved with a Rocket Power project or have a worthy fundraising initiative you'd like us to be part of, please contact us at rocketsportsmedia.com.
Hi, I'm Chris G. The Habs 360 podcast and Anthony from art2canvas.com
are pleased to announce the return of the Habs contest this season. The contest will run during every Habs home game in the regular season and will give you the opportunity to win a great prize courtesy of r2canvas.com. Listen to the Habs 360 podcast and follow Habs 360 and Habs Happy on Twitter for more details. And for high-quality canvas art at a reasonable price, visit r2canvas.com. Good luck.
Want the latest Habs news with game previews, reviews, and highlights? How about full coverage of development camps and special events? Looking to follow the Hamilton Bulldogs more closely this season? Perhaps you'd like to learn more about team prospects. Would you like a place to socialize with hockey fans all over the world? We've got everything you're looking for at allhabs.net, the place where you'll find everything you need to be the most informed and connected Habs fan around. allhabs.net. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
All right, welcome back to Habs 360. I'm Chris G along with Peter. We have a great contest going on with Framework Sports Marketing about the road games. Peter, why don't you tell us more about it?
Yeah, well, the Habs 360 podcast is excited to provide a Habs fan with an opportunity to win an 8x10 autographic by Brendan Gallagher. It's courtesy of Framework Sports Marketing. Framework is the largest distributor of autographed NHL memorabilia in the world, and one of the largest distributors of sports memorabilia in North America. Here's how to enter. You just got to follow Habs 360 on Twitter. And prior to the next Canadiens road game, which is this Friday against the New Jersey Devils, tweet Habs 360 your guess of the final score and the name of the first Canadiens goal scorer. If you guess them correctly, you win. That's how simple it is to enter the contest. And in case of multiple correct guesses, a tiebreaker will be determined among winners. For more information on Framework Sports Marketing, visit their website, framework.com.
So, if we look ahead, Peter, actually, before we look ahead, I would like to talk about the Canadiens' power play since March 4th. So, that's the first game after the trade deadline. Coincidence, who knows? The Canadiens have scored 3 power play goals in the 30 opportunities, which gives a success rate of 10%, which is horrible, right? And they haven't been able to figure it out after 75 games because this has been consistent from game 1 to game 75 that the power play hasn't been working. Now that the Canadiens have, well, you know, you could say pretty much they've clinched a playoff spot and they have 7 games remaining, do you think the Canadiens should take the upcoming games and maybe experiment different things on the power play?
Well, yes, they should. That should be the case. I mean, the last few games now is just to prepare your team for the playoffs. And this is the time to experiment because when game 1 comes around, the first round, the team has to be ready. There's no more time for experimenting and trying things out. I mean, this team's got to be ready. And you just got to execute. And that's it. So this is the final stretch. And they got to keep trying things on the power play. I don't know why they don't use PK Subban's shot more often as a weapon on the power play. It's a little mind-boggling. I think they're afraid that the opposition is going to be covering him too much. But, I mean, he's the top guy there, and I don't understand.
And another thing, there's a good chunks of the power play where Markov and Subban, they're not playing on the opposite sides. Like Subban playing the right defense, and Markov plays on the left. And then sometime during the play, they switch over. So I'm not sure why didn't they just start right off the bat. Okay, it could be because of the clear outs and not along the boards. It's easier to stop a clear out if you're on your natural side. But at this point, Canadiens need to try something new. They need presence in front of the net. Why not try like a Dale Weiss, put him in front now at this point? Why not try like a Braden Press, put him in front of the net? What about somebody like Lars Eller? He's barely gotten any power play time the whole season. Why not give him a shot right now? Try it, because I think in the playoffs, traditionally go down. The importance of power play goals is still quite important in the postseason. I think the Canadians definitely do need to find something to make it work.
I've got more for sure. Offensive-wise, I think I'm doing a lot of good things defensively and physically and stuff like that, but I definitely know I got another level offensively, and hopefully I pick it up pretty soon here.
So that's Devontae Smith-Pelly, we'll call him Devo, and that was prior to the game against the Winnipeg Jets, where he was demoted to the fourth line. And since he's joined the Montreal Canadiens, he has one assist in 15 games, and he has a record of minus four. He's supposed to be physical. We've seen it here and there, not on a consistent basis. He's not a fast skater, so I'm still wondering, is he still adapting to the Montreal Canadiens system? And we know that it was confirmed by the coach this morning that Devo will not be in the lineup against the Florida Panthers, and Brian Flynn will take his spot on the third line. So, Peter, what do you think about this move of DSP or Devo being out of the lineup and Brian Flynn taking his spot?
Well, I'm in favor of Devontae Smith-Pelly not being in the lineup. I think it's a long time coming, and it should have happened a lot earlier. As for Brian Flynn coming back in the lineup, I've got no problem with that. A little surprised that he's taking a third-line role to start the game. I don't think that will be the case as the game goes through. I think that he'll eventually find a spot on the fourth line. But I've got no problems with that.
In the game against the Winnipeg Jets, it was Dale Weiss who was on the third line with De La Rose and Lars Zeller, while Devo was on the fourth line. So I'm expecting that switch to happen at some point early on during tonight's game against the Florida Panthers. And speaking about the Florida Panthers, Peter, this is another game, even though the Panthers don't have a huge chance of making the playoffs right now, probably either the Boston Bruins or the Ottawa Senators, they're still hungry, looking for a playoff spot, so the Canadians need to be ready for them tonight at the Bell Centre.
Oh, definitely. These are the teams that often cause the upsets, and this is a team, like you said, that's still in the hunt for a playoff spot, who still has a very good chance, and it could very easily happen, and these are very dangerous games, but it's also a case of, like we said, you know, the Canadians are also in a spot where they have to try things out as well and get this team ready for the playoffs, and maybe, you know, it's a win-lose situation, you know, like it's if the point of it is try to experiment, and whether you win or lose, depends what mentality they're going to go. If they really want that first place spot in the division, you got to go all out and play your A game. And I think that should be the case as well. I think that this team should try to go for a first place in the division. I think it's very, very important to finish in first. And they just got to be careful. A team like Florida could surprise them.
And if you look to the game on Monday night, the Canadiens are facing the Tampa Bay Lightning. It is the fifth game between these two teams, and it's the last game of the regular season between them. If you look at the four games teams face each other, Tampa Bay beat the Canadiens all four games this year. And last week, Peter, you mentioned that you were concerned about the Canadiens if they had to face the Tampa Bay Lightning. If the Canadiens go on and beat the Lightning on Monday, do you think the first four games are forgotten?
No, definitely not forgotten, but at least it'll give someone like me a bit of hope, you know, because if they do lose that game, I think that this team will not get past them in the second round, and they won't make the conference finals.
On my end, I wasn't concerned last week the Canadians lost the four games. If the Canadians do lose against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Monday night, I think at that point I'll get concerned because it'll be all five games. But if the Canadians go on and beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think it's forgotten. It gives confidence back to the Montreal Canadiens heading into the playoffs. And these two teams, if they do face each other, it will be in the postseason. It will be in the second round, in fact, that is where they would face each other, assuming that, you know, they both win their first round matchups. So we'll try not to look too much ahead, even though that's what we're doing a bit. But that is definitely something, a big game coming up for the Montreal Canadiens on Monday night. And from all the games that they have remaining this season, it's probably the most important one that the Canadiens have. If we go to Twitter, and we have a couple of tweets that we received via our account at Habs360. First one comes by Mike Barrett. He's responding in regards to our conversation in regards to Brendan Gallagher and Alex Galchenyuk, and the question that I asked Peter was if he found it weird that Gallagher has more goals than Alex Galchenyuk. And he writes, why not? He's older, more polished, and has played with patches almost all season. Chucky is a playmaker first anyways. Chucky's ceiling is not at 21 years old. Ceiling equals the peak seasons, usually 8 to 10 years after draft year. Give him 4 more years before judging. So thank you very much for the tweet, Mike. And in fact, he is right. The ceiling isn't at 21 years old. What I've been, I guess, expecting from Galchenyuk is that he keeps getting better every season. And this season, it seems, just an impression that I have, is it seems like he's taken a step back compared to last season. That's why I have a little bit of a concern. I'm not panicking. Like I said, a minor concern in regards to that. Patrick Costa also sent us a tweet. He is from Montreal. He's talking about our discussion we had about the power play a few minutes ago. How to fix it? He writes, diamond shape with PK in the back middle. I would also let him move forward considering he has more skill. And he wants to have Pacioretty, Plekanec, and Galchenyuk on the ice for a minute 20 of every power play. And speaking of Galchenyuk, I think he has only one power play goal this season. So does he merit to get all the power play time right now? Probably not. I'm just trying to pick up here quickly how many power play goals Galchenyuk has this year. And it looks like he doesn't have any power play goal. So that's, wow, that's quite concerning for Alex Galchenyuk. Sorry, correction, yes, for them. I just skipped that line. But for somebody talented like Alex Galchenyuk, my expectations were that he would score more often than he has done so far. If you look ahead to the Canadiens' upcoming games this week, it starts off tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern, against the Florida Panthers at the Bell Center, a game that could be seen coast-to-coast on the City TV and on TVA Sports. On Monday night, the Lightning are in town, a 7:30 p.m. start at the Bell Center. Game could be seen to viewers in Belleville East on the Sportsnet East in English and on RDS in French. On Thursday night, it's the Washington Capitals who are in town, which could be a potential first-round matchup. So we're talking about big games, Peter. The game against the Capitals Thursday night could be a game that sets the tone for a potential first-round matchup.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And things might get pretty interesting. That's going to be a very, very interesting game on Thursday.
And that's a good goalie matchup as well, as Holtby from the Washington Capitals is also having an excellent season for the Capitals. So that's a game to watch on Thursday night on Sportsnet East and on RDS for viewers in Belleville and East. And then on Easter Friday, Canadians are in New Jersey to face the New Jersey Devils, a game that could be seen coast-to-coast in English on the Sportsnet 360, and on French is only for viewers in Belleville East on RDS. So that is a busy week for the Montreal Canadiens coming up with the four games in their schedule. Peter G., thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Chris.
You can follow Peter on Twitter at Peter Galanos. And next week, we'll talk about that game against the Washington Capitals, which could be a preview of the first round matchup. And it will also be a mini three-game homestand for the Montreal Canadiens coming up. And we'll also talk about how the Canadiens did against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And next week, during the podcast, when we'll be broadcasting, the Canadiens will have a day off in Florida, those lucky guys, as the Canadiens will be enjoying a day off prior to their Sunday game against the Florida Panthers. I want to thank your listeners for listening to Habs 360. We really do appreciate it. My name is Chris G, at ChrisG1980 on Twitter. And we'll talk to you again next Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the Habs 360 podcast. Have a good day, everybody.
For the latest news on the Montreal Canadiens, follow us on Twitter at Habs360 and visit allhabs.net.